May I be of the first to say good afternoon to you on this Tuesday, April 28th, and I probably am one of the first to say it because it's only about 5 minutes into news. Noontime started 5 minutes ago after the news, and we're here to spend some time with you, with the team, Mike Parsons, our executive producer, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski. You can stream us, podcast us, all at WJR.com. I hope you have the free WJR app. And you can watch us now, too, Facebook and YouTube pages, live streaming as we speak. On your way to making each and every day count, because you know each day is a gift. We need to be reminded sometimes. And QTR, none of us know how much quality time remaining we have. So let that guide you in making it a great day. Don't just sit back and see what happens. Make it a great day. And I do thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. You do that when you tune in to this great station, WJR. Yesterday's birthday, David Fisher, used to own Suburban Motors. He's still involved in the business. David, happy birthday to you. If you see him, say, Paul W. wished you a belated happy birthday, because it was actually yesterday, but I missed it. There was a lot going on. There's a lot going on today. King Charles making a great appearance with our president. They clearly get along, and that's a good thing. And everything, the pomp and circumstance, is fabulous, and we're going to hear more about it. Our own Ryan Ermani is there, and he'll tell you all about it coming up here on the show. Marie Osborne will be filling in for him as Ryan will go to that joint session of Congress, only the second time that a monarch has done that, first his mother, and now the first king ever to do it. And it's going to be a great situation, a lot of unity, a lot of standing and clapping on both sides of the room, which is rare. I know that from being there for a few State of the Union addresses over the years, and it's just even weirder than it is on television when somebody says, I don't think you should beat up babies. And one half of the room says, yeah, that's right. And the other half says, we're sitting on our hands because a Republican said that, or we're sitting on our hands because a Democrat said that. It's ridiculous. Today, I think they'll have little to use as an excuse for not standing and cheering and showing the monarchy that, you know, America wasn't a failed experiment. It isn't. I swear it isn't. Even with guys like Jimmy Kimmel tearing it down all the time. That's unfortunately what he calls humor now, which is why add up Jimmy Kimmel and all the rest of the nighttime guys, and not one of them, added up together, comes half to what the audience used to be when Johnny Carson understood he was an entertainer trying to make you laugh, not trying to get into politics. What would Kimmel do, of all people, without this president in office? What would he talk about? Every night, same thing. And on the New York Post, the cover says, Kim Witt strikes again. So there you are. Should he be fired? I don't know. Should he apologize? Yeah, even people that like what he's doing, it was ill-timed to make a joke about the first lady being a widow. Just, it doesn't ever make sense to make that kind of a joke. How did the new Mike Parsons, well, I don't know what they call it, Evening with Mike Parsons? I know they don't like to use the name.
I think I'm calling it Nightside with Mike Parsons.
Nightside with, and now here's your host on Nightside with Mike Parsons.
Oh, that's good. You should do my open.
I'll do it. I'll be happy to.
Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. I reunited with Renee from First Thing. I talked to Rich. We opened the show. Talked to Dave about all this gambling going on. And in a couple weeks, Paul, you're gonna be my my permanent segment one co-host. And that's gonna be a lot of fun.
I'll be your straight man. And it's going to, the reason we're taking time is, well, yesterday I had a very bad cold.
Right.
I'm getting over it now. I'm a quick self-healer usually. But then I'm leaving on the Pure Michigan tour. So, I mean, it was like,
yeah, so you'd,
so would why have been, start and then be gone for 2 weeks?
Yeah, you'd be on for a week, off for a week. So we're just going to wait and then you'll be, the premise is I've got a different co-host every segment. So, and bringing
out
the,
right?
Yeah. So I'm bringing out the,
I don't feel so special after all. So anyway,
yeah,
no,
well,
I'm kidding.
I was going to say, I'm bringing out the big names here for the first segment. You know, you're my hook, Paul.
Yeah. Right. I'm happy to be there. So I'll be there every Monday for your first segment of your 8 p.m. show.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you see any of the King Charles stuff?
Just what they're showing on Fox News right now.
There's a lot of pomp, a lot of circumstance.
A lot of hats.
I did notice the women are wearing hats. That must be protocol, I guess. It was either the Kentucky Derby or it was at the White House. Kentucky Derby's this weekend, I think.
I know. Snuck up on us.
It really snuck up. We used to talk about the horses. I can't name one.
No, and I always pick the horse with the name I like most because I know absolutely nothing about.
Why not? I mean, you got to do it. I went once, twice with Hoot McInerney, may he rest in peace, and it was a big deal to me because I'd never been there. It's a longer story, but I won a couple of times. Not a lot because I didn't bet a lot.
Right.
And I said, Hoot, I want to go over and get my money. And he goes, oh, no, it's raining. Let's get out of here. I go, Hoot, I won.
Right.
You know, it might have been $50 or whatever, but $50, man, that was $50 to me.
Right.
Apparently not to Hoot.
Wow.
I said, Hoot, I'm going to go get my money.
Yeah, I'll catch up with you later.
Yeah. Well, and I had to because we were flying on his plane. So
you would have had to ride one of those horses back if you missed the flight.
One of the losing horses on the way to the glue factory, I would have had to ride back. Only observation I had, you know, we have to remember that this king, though not a lot is talked about with it, he has cancer.
Right.
And nobody seems to take that into consideration. And it looked to me, maybe just me, and you maybe can't answer because you might not have seen it, when the president was galloping around, you know, the troops and doing all this stuff, and, you know, he's a big guy, and he goes with a purpose, and he had a soldier with him, a Marine or something, honor guard, and they're walking, and I felt sorry for poor King Charles, who seemed to be lagging behind.
Yeah, that would make sense. You know what, Paul, I forgot until you reminded me that, yeah, he has cancer, so maybe there's that. Maybe Trump's just really excited about this visit, so he's walking a little ahead of him.
He's very excited. He's got a lot of energy. But as we know, he can take naps sitting at his desk or standing or whatever, just little moments. I'm very familiar with those little moments where you rest your eyes.
Right.
So
before the king got here.
We're going to talk to Caitlin Buss, first guest. And I must tell you, with time passing, as great a job as I think the Secret Service did, all kinds of things are coming up now that are bothering me in watching what took place. And realize for a moment, this is one guy who was able to get in and behind the security lines by merely checking into the hotel the day before. What if five guys checked in? What if 10 guys checked in? And instead of the one guy rushing toward the last bastion of security, it was 5 or 10 guys with guns a-blazing. They would have gotten in to that place, and they would have killed a lot of people. This has got to stop. These Secret Service guys have got to be at least as good as the ones I used to know way back when I was introducing Ronald Reagan at an event. None of this would have happened with those guys. These guys were unbelievable, and I'll explain that when I have Caitlin on coming up. As we're underway on this Tuesday, April 28th, what happened to April? On Tuesday, April 28th, it's Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. I don't know why that was, and I will act like an assignment editor, which I'm not, and I never... In fact, she's my boss, but Caitlin Buss is here, deputy editorial page editor for the Detroit News. She and Kelly, her husband, hosted Focus last week, and soon enough they'll, I hope, have their own podcast, and I'll make 10% royalty for coming up with the idea. Caitlin!
Hi, Paul. Good to be with you.
Here's my off-the-wall question, and I know you, being the astute reporter you are, and it may not seem important to you, but I want to know why the king was picked up at the airport and delivered to the White House in a BMW.
Hmm.
7 Protection. BMW 7 Protection Limo, meaning it's ironclad and like the Beast, which is a Cadillac. But if they were going to be picking him up in something other than a Cadillac, the traditional beast-type car, why not a Bentley or a Rolls-Royce or something that has British roots, I wonder?
That's a really good question. I mean, I would assume that's the car he needed and wanted, and there's a really good reason for it. But you ask a good question.
All right. Well, if anyone can...
I thought the whole thing was remarkable to see.
I thought it was fabulous. I'm happily watching it here at home in comfort. And I had the opportunity to go to Washington, and I've done that a million times, and it's all great. And it's time to pass off the opportunities to the youngsters in the crowd that are going to be here the next 30 years, guys like Ryan Ermanni, who will be reporting to us on the air, and we're looking forward to that. But you're right.
Cool.
This is a great visit by King Charles III, his wife, Queen Camilla, his first state visit to the United States. And so far, knock on wood or a reasonable facsimile, it looks like it's going very well.
Yeah, no, it's been an interesting week. Almost a little bit of a blast from the past between the Washington Hilton being in the news again and a regular stately affair. Not always in the best way, of course, but it seems like things have normalized perhaps ever so slightly. I say that against the backdrop of another assassination attempt. But.
Yeah, well, and that is another story. I always, how do I put this? I'm always on the side of law enforcement, Secret Service, FBI, everybody that was involved there. But I must tell you, as the dust has settled, Caitlin, imagine, if you will, if five people checked into that hotel with the idea of that one guy to want to come in and do damage. And we watched on that still camera that was there that showed us one guy rushing through. Imagine five guys rushing through. They would have made it downstairs and into the room, and they would have killed several people before they were killed.
Yeah,
and that's unacceptable. And I got to tell you something else, having spent a lot of time with Secret Service over the years, that one Secret Service guy who was standing right there, the fact that he was not in his rapt attention phase that I've seen these guys go into when it's time, when the president's around, they get into a whole different mindset. He should have heard this guy running toward that area, and he should have tackled that guy. Period.
Yeah, no, it's very strange to have him come out of nowhere at that speed with having no one chasing him or anything.
Here's the other one. I'm going to say another one. In the last several months, our Secret Service has fired 11 shots, and not once have they hit the target. And in fact, in this one, I bet you they're going to finally reveal that the guy who was hit by a bullet and saved by his vest was actually hit by friendly fire. Now, I have to get all that off my chest. I want to hear everything you have to say.
No, I think, I mean, obviously following Butler, there was a demand for a shakeup at the Secret Service. I haven't followed to know if they've made those improvements. It seems like perhaps they have, but I agree with you that this is unacceptable. And I think it's made, you know, the argument for the ballroom perhaps a bit stronger. I mean, I think it's obvious there's no way to protect a president when he is going to engage with the people like that. It's very hard. And so I think to some extent he may need to reconsider limiting some of that exposure because it's impossible. But I think we need to have more, you know, secure places for him to be, for the next president to be, not at the Washington Hilton. I don't think any president should ever go there again.
Well, we had one president shot right outside there a number of years ago, when President Reagan was shot outside that same building. We also, whatever happened to the rule where you wouldn't put that many cabinet members and the president and vice president in the same room?
Yeah. Yeah, no, everyone was in there. And, you know, who was the designated survivor out of that? I don't know.
I heard the name, and I have no idea who it was. I mean, I heard the name in passing, and I went, what? Who's that?
Yeah, it's just crazy to think that in 2026, with the kind of access to intelligence that we have, that these kinds of things can still happen. And I believe that they can, but that gap really needs to be closed. You know, we can stop drones from the Middle East from coming, but we can't stop this guy, you know, who was in the hotel. I mean, there needs to be some restitution in the middle there.
It does seem to beg that this whole new facility he wants to build, and they keep fighting him on it, they really need it. It may not be big enough. It wouldn't have been, somebody said on the television that it wasn't big enough for that crowd that they had at that dinner. So maybe the crowds don't need to be that big. I don't know. The whole Jimmy Kimmel thing has come up again. I think it's distasteful. These guys have no talent at all. If they didn't have this president to kick around, I don't know what they would do every night.
Yeah, it's a really old, you know, the idea of wishing harm on President Trump is just not only wrong, but out of vogue, and I wish he'd be quiet. None of us want that to happen. None of us want the fallout of that, and I think it's important to keep that in mind.
What else is going on? What else are you working on?
Well, we've got a debate coming up here. The GOP gubernatorial debate is on Thursday. Headed to a meeting about that right now, so I think there are tickets for that if people are interested, but the election is really coming up quickly, so a lot of our work is revolving around that.
How is our Detroit News doing under new ownership leadership?
It's going well. You know, a lot has changed in the media, so we're learning some new skills, kind of getting up to speed on where, you know, the whole industry is. But, you know, our thought leadership has always been a leader, and so they are happy to have us on their team.
Well, that's good, and they should be, because the Detroit News is a highly esteemed publication, has been for a very long time, and we are still thrilled to be a city that has two competing philosophy newspapers, though we might argue from time to time. It's good to have both sides of the coin represented.
It is, and we appreciate all the support throughout this. So thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin Buss. Thank you to your husband, Kelly Kopp, for sitting in recently. Yeah. And we're looking forward to your podcast coming up soon. We'll be the first to tell everyone about it, all right?
We will. Okay. Thanks, Paul.
Caitlin Buss, Deputy Editorial Page Editor for the Detroit News at 1228. Nope. Let's call it 1229 on WJR. Beautiful story in today's The Detroit News, serving Michigan since 1873. A nice picture, beautiful picture of the rebuilt Oakland Hills Country Club clubhouse, replacing the original historic building, which was destroyed in that big fire in 2022. It features a two-level men's locker room, a bigger women's locker room, ballrooms, and more. And I just want to say to the members of the Oakland Hills Country Club, congratulations to you. This was a lot of work, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, but it looks like you have a spectacular new clubhouse that will stand against any clubhouse anywhere in the country and probably the world. So congratulations to the members of Oakland Hills. I know they've gone through a lot, but man, oh man, is that place beautiful. Can't wait to see it in person again. Meanwhile, there's a great guy who has been with us almost as long as I've been on the air. Certainly he's been around the whole time I've been on the air, Lieutenant Mike Shaw of the Michigan State Police. He has always been the guy that we have depended on to fill us in, lead us to the right path, and even hold our hand when necessary. And it was hard to hear that he's going to be retiring from this position come this new month of May. Michael, I don't know how we're going to do it without you, but you're about to introduce a guy who's taking your place.
I am, and I think he's going to do an outstanding job. The one thing about MSP is we've been around since 1917, and time moves on, and you know, you bring people in that replaces you, and you know, it's always a great opportunity for someone to get a different aspect of the department, and I think he's going to do a great job.
I've had a number of people, Lieutenant, say to me when they're retiring, well, I'm not going to be gone. I'm going to retire, but I've got other plans. Do you have other plans?
I understand there's a co-host opening on Focus on noon on 760 is what I was told as I was walking through the building. There was a lot of people shaking my hand.
Trust me, there's a lot of people in that lineup. I can guarantee you that.
Nope. The first thing we're going to do, believe it or not, we're going to go out like champions. We're going to Disney World.
Oh, boy.
We're going to do that and spend my pension probably, but we're going to do that. and then we'll kind of look around and see what's going on and maybe do some consulting for some police departments, things like that.
But, oh, you'd be an excellent consultant.
Not
just for police departments, but for businesses, because they all now have their own protection staffs and everything else. You'd be excellent for that.
So we'll look at some different things like that. But, you know, I've been fortunate to be in public service since I was 18. I've been wearing a uniform every time I've gone to work from 18 to now I'm almost 61. So, you know, I like to wear some bright colors maybe for once and maybe go without a tie and a short sleeve shirt for a bit. So you know, what I'm kind of hoping to do.
How do people reach out and get to you after you retire? Is there a web page or an email or something you can give, or not yet?
Not yet. No, okay. we're not that. You know, I finish on coming out strong. I know a lot of people when they retire, they kind of kick off and look for their own stuff. I work to May 29th, and I plan on giving MSP everything I got till May 29th, and then we'll go from there.
I'm not surprised. Well, in fact, introduce the guy who is going to, has been mentored by you, and he's lucky that he's following Lieutenant Mike Shaw, and that is Lieutenant Ty Howard. And he's there with you.
He is here with me, yep. So he started, his first day was actually on Sunday, so... we got him over there, got him an interview this morning over at WDIV, and hopefully we'll get him a couple more before this is over with, and then I'll pan the baton over, and he'll get some gray hair.
How odd is this? Isn't the Channel 4 anchor named Ty as well?
The evening anchor is, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that part. That's maybe like, we should have got him on the evening.
Well,
see, I'm not thinking.
That's... Two ties are pretty unusual, T.Y. Lieutenant Ty Howard, we welcome you to the Paul W. Smith Focus Show. We will welcome you as often as we've welcomed Lieutenant Mike Shaw. We appreciate that. We're gonna introduce you by having you talk to us about an operation that's currently underway as the National Transportation Safety Organization overseeing a traffic campaign involving both the Michigan Office of Highway Safety Planning and numerous state and local police groups like MSP. And that's this Operation Ghost Rider. Sir, tell us about it.
All right, well, good afternoon, and thank you for having me on the show.
Sure.
So Operation Ghost Rider is something that's been going on for many years. It's one way that we can ensure that our streets remain safe. So we're going to have someone that's going to be inside of an unmarked vehicle, and they're going to be looking for violations on the roadway. And if any violation is observed, they can radio that violation to the marked units and they can conduct a traffic stop. But just to let the public know, you won't be stopped by an unmarked vehicle. You will be stopped by a marked vehicle. But it's just another way that we can see things that the average officer can't see. Just because we've all been in our personal vehicles and we looked over at the driver next to us and seen them texting or watching videos or being distracted, I should say, on their phones or from other things inside of their vehicles. And this is the way we can see it from all angles.
Well, I'll never forget our friend Steve Kiefer, who started the Kiefer Foundation in memory of his fine son, Mitchell Kiefer, an MSU student on his way back to school when a woman following behind him wasn't paying attention to the traffic, was paying attention to her phone, allegedly, or was, and ran right into the back of Mitchell's car, pushed him into oncoming traffic, and he lost his life. And I believe one of the main issues at play are, in fact, people using the phone while driving, which they're not supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely an unfortunate situation. There are far too many lives that are lost due to distracted driving. And something as simple as just putting your phone down, you can put it in the trunk, put it in the glove box, just keep it out of your hand, keep it out of your view, and just focus on the road, because you have to realize those vehicles are extremely heavy, and it's hard to stop them sometimes if you're not paying attention to what's in front of you.
It's a weapon. Hurtling down the roadway, you bet you need both hands and your attention on what's going on. First offense, $100 fine and or 16 hours community service. Second offense, $250 fine and or 24 hours community service. Three violations, mandatory driving course. Fines doubled if distracted driving causes a crash. There's plenty of reason not to do this. Now you know you're being watched in Operation Ghost Rider. Lieutenant Ty Howard, we welcome you. We hope you'll join us as often as you possibly can. And I hope you understand the affection that we have for your predecessor, Lieutenant Mike Shaw, who has done a tremendous job.
Yeah, I got some pretty big shoes to fill, but I'm definitely looking forward to this opportunity and being able to serve the citizens of the Metro Detroit area.
Well, we're looking forward to working with you, sir. And Mike Shaw, don't be a stranger around here.
Oh, I don't plan on being a stranger, Paul W., and I'm going to have to say it one more time before I get out of here and not scare anybody, but, you know, we just want to tell people to get their head out of their app, right? Put that phone down and make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that's driving your car, and that's the most important part.
He said app, okay? Get your head out of your
app. Get your head out of your app.
He got me on that the first time.
P. Yeah. Yes.
He scared me, too, yep. Each time. Yep.
Scared myself when we first started using that terminology, but I've gotten pretty used to it now.
Well, and you've gotten very good at it. Thank you, Lieutenant Mike Shaw, and welcome, Lieutenant Ty Howard from the fabulous Michigan State Police. As we continue in focus with Paul W. Smith right here on WJR, Mr. Ermani goes to Washington up next. Britain's King Charles III, his wife Queen Camilla, receiving a warm welcome in Washington, started yesterday. On his first state visit to the United States. It continues through today. And one of the big, big moments is going to be his address to a joint session of Congress. It's only the second time that a monarch has done this. The first one was his mother a number of years ago. And there's a lot of talk about just how good she was, but how much better Charles will be because he has a looser style. You know, she was a little bit staid. It was that was the way that she carried herself very well. He's a little looser. He seems to be having a lot of fun. A guy who's having a lot of fun and will bring us all of the excitement of the joint session of Congress is our own Ryan Ermani, host of JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani. And I have hooked up with him in Washington, D.C. Ryan.
All incredible trip so far. We are here inside the Michigan room, which is a room beyond where Congressman Wahlberg has his office. He created this room, and it is named the Michigan room. It will always be the Michigan room, and it's a little bit of a meeting area for people to kind of do things like this, and it's just a really cool experience. You've interviewed presidents, Paul. You've done this trip before in the past, but for me, this is my first time doing anything like this. It is an incredible experience to be in this city at this time for this event. Really,
well,
truly incredible.
I couldn't be more excited for you, and I was so thrilled that you were going to be going. I think we've broadcast from the Michigan Room before, or it may be set up for broadcast. Congressman Tim Walberg has always been so good to WJR and all of us, and we've tried to be very good to him because he's an all-around great guy. And what an experience this is going to be for you. Second time in history that a monarch has addressed the joint session of Congress, and maybe the first time in a long time we're going to actually see both sides of the room stand up. When I was there, it bothered me that one side would stand and then the other side wouldn't, and then one side would stand and the other side wouldn't. I mean, it showed nothing but a schism between both sides on either side of the aisle. I can't believe that we won't see unity in cheering this king today. What do you think?
And maybe this is probably, if you think of all the topics, if you think of all the subjects, if you think of all the problems going on in the country, if there is one issue or one guest that can come get a standing ovation from every member of Congress, every person seated in that room today, in that chamber today, perhaps it is King Charles that can leave it to King Charles to bring the country together.
I agree.
He is here to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our country's independence, breaking off from England, breaking off from Great Britain, and celebrating that. And, you know, being in this town, we talk about the flag, we talk about America, and we talk about all of these great grand things that we have in this country. Being here, it is a reminder of how special the United States of America is. And it is sad to see the fracture. I do believe there is a major fracture going on in the country right now. A lot of people just cannot get along. A lot of people don't even want to be in the same room. We saw it the other night. A lot of people declined the invitation to be at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I will not be in the same room as that man. I mean, it is incredible that we can't even talk to each other anymore. But again, this is one of those events that I think remind us of who we are as a country. And I think this is one event that can bring us together at least for one day.
Imagine the American Revolution fought to establish independence from British rule. And now we have the British monarch here congratulating us on that break 250 years ago. He's actually congratulating us and celebrating this 250th anniversary with us. I'll tell you, Ryan Ermani, I know you're having a very special time. I know you're taking it all in. Isn't it just an incredible feeling just to go by the Washington Monuments? Gives you such a great feeling of America. I wish more people had the opportunity to have that feeling and to open their hearts and their minds to us all understanding that we are all Americans. We may have disagreements, but we're all Americans, and we should get along better than we appear to be. I can't
Period.
Wait to hear more about it.
Exclamation mark on that. Great job. Well said, Paul.
And I can't wait to hear more of your reports. And then will you be back on the air in your regular chair tomorrow?
I will be. I have an 8 p.m. flight tonight coming right back.
Good for you. Can't wait to hear all about it. Enjoy the moment. Savor it. Ryan Ermani, host of JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani, right there at the joint session of Congress. And what time will they start speaking? Whoop, they took him down.
Yeah,
coming
sorry. I just let him go. Sorry, Paul.
Okay, WJR. Hour number two, welcome in with the team. Mike Parsons, executive producer. Danielle Mason running the controls. Rich Lozinski keeping an eye on WJR traffic and weather first. We're all here and happy to be with you with Relentless Positive Radio on your way to making each and every day count, because we all know each day is a gift. We can all use a reminder. And the QTR, quality time remaining. We have no idea how much time we have. Kim has to throw that in my face from time to time so that I stop and smell the roses, which are coming out now. Although we had them trimmed and they were all cut off, but I guess that's what you're supposed to do. And they'll come back. Someday they'll come back as roses, from what I understand. Anyway, thanks for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Pistons.
Ugh. Ugh.
Ugh. Pistons about to be eliminated after, as it says here, gifting the Magic game number 4, 94-88.
Yeah, and I got to say, Paul, I got frustrated at halftime, and I said, okay.
Okay.
But
you did better than me. I think the speech is at like 3, because here's why. When I spoke with Congressman Tim Walberg about it, the idea was for me to do my show and that I would still have time to run down to where the speech was.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, you know, that's not going to work. So I think it's at 3 o'clock, but I can't be sure. I know that Ryan has to be there early, and I wanted to mention also that Marie Osborne will be doing his show today, and I'm sure Ryan will be a big part of the show as long as he can be on the phone. At least that's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, so it's kind of up in the air if he'll be able to join the show for that reason,
yeah,
for the timing and everything.
All that stuff is up in the air when you start dealing with Washington, first of all,
right,
and you start dealing with that room. With a joint session of Congress, there's a lot of stuff that
goes
into
that. Don't run too far behind. He's got to catch that 8 o'clock flight.
Oh, he'll be okay. The president is not going. He said he wants to go, but he isn't going because that's not for his place. That's apparently...
Oh, because it's for Congress.
Right. So, and if he went, then I would say all bets are off of making an 8 o'clock flight.
That's true.
But I don't think he's going to have any trouble. I still want somebody to find out why the king and queen were picked up at the airport and delivered to the White House in a BMW. And I appreciate that Danielle was able to look this up for me because you were off doing some stuff. A BMW 7 protection limo. So it's, you know, okay, like the Beast, only we use Cadillacs.
And right.
Why wouldn't they have picked him up in a Cadillac? There's several armored Cadillacs, believe me. Or for that matter, a Bentley or a Rolls Royce or something with more British feel. Or I don't see how. Or a Jaguar. Yeah, a Jaguar.
Yeah, BMW is what? German?
German. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I don't quite understand.
Huh. It says on there because it has better protection and lower emissions. But it says likely the reason. Not the actual reason, but likely the reason.
Well, it's not a lot of emission to go from the airport to the White
House. Yeah, come on.
Anyway, so I should have said Jaguar earlier. Jaguar.
Jaguar. See, Bentley, I thought it was Rolls Jaguar Royce forever until I saw the commercial where they called it Jaguar.
Well, they blew it. They, like, completely blew their image and everything else. Don't get me started. We don't want to talk about it. Now, we will talk more about in the days ahead. Look, I congratulated the Secret Service. It was awe-inspiring to watch them in action. But then I started thinking about it and remembering when I used to be around a lot of Secret Service guys, especially when I was introducing Ronald Reagan many years ago, they have kind of two personalities. The one when the president's nowhere near,
right,
which is a little loose, and then the one when the president's anywhere near, and it's very focused. And I got to tell you, the guy that was standing there at the equipment, at the line where the guy came running through, this guy was not in his serious, I'm paying attention role. He was like kind of going, oh, well,
yeah,
you know, because
it took him a minute to react.
And when the guy is running that hard and you're paying attention, you notice, you hear the noise, you see the distraction, and he should have tackled him.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, there have been 11 bullets fired by the Secret Service lately. 6 and then 5 at this event. 6 at the golf course, 5 here. And they've missed every time. The only bullet that hit anybody is probably a bullet-friendly fire
right
to the vest of one of the Secret Service guys. So I got a note from a great guy that I will always respect, Dick Hafner, our former news director, still participates with the station. Paul, you are the only one in the media that I have heard or who has the courage to say or suggest that this was a massive security failure by the Secret Service, and that's what it was. Sadly, well, I'll keep reading what he says. If this guy had not tripped, he would have gotten into the room. You know that that's a fact.
Oh, that's what happened. No, I didn't know.
He tripped, and then they jumped on him.
Right, because I saw a diagram of the...
He was right at the stairs to go down into the room.
Right.
Where the doors were open.
Wow. No, see, I thought someone off camera tackled him. He tackled himself.
He tackled himself. He was running full speed. The guy, first guy should have tackled him, thrown himself in front of him, did not because he wasn't ready, because he wasn't in that Secret Service mode. I've watched them. I've been with them, and I've seen how they are a number of times. But beyond that, the other thing I brought up earlier is, what if 5 guys checked into that hotel
right
with a plan to do this? What if 10 guys checked in and a herd of 5 or 10 ne'er-do-wells were charging where that one guy did? Trust me, they would have gotten into the hall and they would have killed several people.
Yeah, absolutely.
This cannot be allowed to happen. What's going on with our Secret Service? Well, start off with Democrats. Give the Department of Homeland Security a budget and get them fully funded. That's one thing. But the rest of it is, what kind of training is there? What kind of do they let people in they never used to let in? I don't know. There's got to be an answer. And I don't hear it yet.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the Secret Service probably isn't going to tell us until, you know, they do some kind of report and release it. But
And I'm not attacking them or putting them down. I always stand with the people in the military, the people in law enforcement at all levels. But when I see something that it needs to be said out loud, I have to say it. This shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have even come as close that it did to it being a catastrophic situation. I'm just saying, guys, you got to get this act together, especially these days, because there's plenty of trouble out there and more coming.
Well, and you think about it, Paul. I mean, you think, okay, a presidential assassination attempt, you know, it might happen once in an administration. This is the third time.
Yeah, third
that
time.
I can think of off the
what
top of my head.
He have his 2.5, 3 years left?
Right.
I mean, how many times are we going to give them a chance to take him out?
Right.
Is a question. All right, on to happier things. Lomas Brown Jr., remember, we had the golf outing for 21 years. It was an honor, and it was time to turn it over, to Lomas Brown. Monday, July 13th at the Spectacular Country Club of Detroit, Lomas Brown Golf Classic is happening. Go online to lomasbrowngolfclassic.com. lomasbrowngolfclassic.com. It's Lomas Brown Jr., but I don't think it's in the website there, lomasbrowngolfclassic.com. If that doesn't work, put in the junior, because that's what he is. And you're in for a fabulous time. I don't know if we're broadcasting from there again or not. I don't know if they've asked
us. I haven't
us
heard
to.
Anything yet.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. We are going to be going on our Pure Michigan tour coming up. Well, we depart Sunday to go to Grand Hotel, Mackinac Island. And so Monday, a week from yesterday, Monday afternoon, we'll be broadcasting from Grand Hotel. And now, too, I understand, you'll verify, the show is expanded for 3 hours like the old days when I did it for the morning show. So 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Correct.
We'll be doing the show, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we always look forward to getting out and seeing people all around this great state. I don't have the list in front of me. I tried to add it to my phone when I was in a different time zone in a different country, and it screwed everything up. In fact, according to my phone, we don't even start this Pure Michigan tour until the week after next week. So I know that's not right. It is this coming week, correct?
First week of May. Yes,
it is. It's always the first week of May. Okay. All right, we're underway at 1:14 on News Talk 760 WJR. Focus with Paul W. Smith. So nice to be with you. Well, our next guest, the son of immigrants who came to Michigan with little more than grit and hope. His dad was a carpenter. His mom was a domestic maid. They taught he and his brothers they could do anything in America. He served as a U.S. Marine Corps infantry rifleman before putting himself through the University of Michigan undergrad and law school, spending 21 years prosecuting dangerous criminals and murderers. In 2002, he became Michigan's first Republican Attorney General in 50 years, winning a razor-thin race and then winning again in a tough year when Republicans lost at the top of the ticket. As Attorney General, he slashed bureaucratic waste, fought government overreach, and secured justice for victims, even with a 20% to fewer staff member count. He did a great job. In fact, it seems he's done a great job at everything he's done. He is Mike Cox, the founder of Mike Cox Law Firm, former Michigan Attorney General, now running for governor of the great state of Michigan as a Republican. Michael, it's always a pleasure, sir.
Paul W., appreciate the opportunity to talk to you in focus today.
Well, it's our honor to have you here. It's been a long time. How are things going in the race?
Going well. As you know, Perry Johnson and John James are getting into it, and I'm in third place. I'm sitting back, and I'm out 7 days a week, and I'm the train that could, right? So I've spent the least amount of money. And when the time comes when voters are paying more attention, I'm going to have a blitz. It'll put me over the top. You know, Paul, I've been through this before, right? I've been in first place, second place, third place in a primary, and I'm in the right place right now.
Well, it's interesting because I think the latest story out there, and it always depends on who's doing the poll, and the final poll is the actual vote that matters. But John James, apparently with a lead, Perry Johnson spending a tremendous amount of money and coming on strong. And as you put it, Mike Cox, you're in third place. But you are a gamer, and you've come from behind oftentimes. And I don't think anyone's ever been disappointed with the job you do, whatever job you're going after.
You know, the Thursday before my first election, I ran against a guy by the name of Gary Peters. And I was down 8 points 4 days out against a Democrat no Republican has ever been able to beat, except for me. So, yeah, I feel very, very good. Paul, you know, and your listeners probably don't, but I raised the most money last year. I brought more money into this year than Benson, James, Duggan. I think Perry might have a little more money than I do, but, you know, I'll spend the money when the time is right. And when I start talking about the things I did as AG, you know, I was a guy who took driver's license away from illegal aliens. I'm the guy who fought the utilities and saved over $3 billion. I was the guy who stood up to Blue Cross for seniors. I was the guy who fought against affirmative action, DEI, and helped get a constitutional amendment put in our Constitution so that folks from Monroe to Menominee could know that merit mattered more than other factors. And, you know, when I remind people of that, and then I also tell them about, hey, you know, out in the private sector, I built my own business. I'm the guy who took down, you know, the cover up at University of Michigan over their sexual predator, Dr. Anderson. And I'm also the guy who stood up for little folks during COVID and represented Unlock Michigan to go after the governor's illegal use of emergency powers, and we won. So, you know, I'm a patient guy. My dad always told me, son, it's all about how you find the handle on the rock. Sometimes it takes you a little bit longer than you want, but you'll find it if you keep working. And I have the handle, and I'm ready to swing the rock in another month or so.
You bring quite a family of note. I'm not just talking about being a proud parents of four children and grandparents for two. But if I'm not mistaken, you met lovely Laura when she was working undercover on a cross-border money laundering and drug case when the two of you got together. That's pretty fascinating.
Hey, Paul, you have a great memory. Yeah, Laura and I met, and she wouldn't give me her real name. Even though she knew I was a prosecutor at the time, she still wouldn't give me her real name. But yeah, they were doing a money laundering intervention. She worked for what's now called ICE. It was called Customs then. So yeah, she had a fake car, a fake apartment, fake name, the whole thing. But she was still cute as hell. She couldn't hide that from me. So I asked her out.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. So, I mean, you bring to the table a family that's ready and understands just what you would be facing as governor of the great state of Michigan.
I do. You know, my wife's been through a few brawls herself. I've been through a few. You know, there's some stereotypes, as you know, because you have a little proud Irish in you. Some stereotypes are sort of true, and fighting Irish is what I am. You know, think about this, Paul. We are on April 28th. There are over 3 months to go. And do you remember there was going to be a President Jeb Bush, and then there was going to be a President Ted Cruz? And who do we end up with? President Donald Trump. There was going to be a President Ben Carson, a President Rick Perry, President Rudy Giuliani. But we ended up with President Donald Trump. So I'm out hitting it every single day, raising more money, most importantly, meeting more people. And, you know, my parents didn't raise me to be a politician. They raised me to be a guy who would treat his fellow man and woman fairly. But having working class roots, having a brother-in-law still builds trucks, still in the UAW, keeps me grounded. And I'm waiting for that poll that comes the first Tuesday in August.
Mike Cox, founder of Mike Cox Law Firm, former Michigan Attorney General, now running for governor as a Republican. Quick gut reaction to the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Anything you want to add or say?
You know, we have to support Department of Homeland Security, the Secret Service. They stopped the guy, but let's not let any more, practice runs happen, and let's protect the president and everyone in the federal government. And that means let's fund Department of Homeland Security.
Amen. Website where people can learn more about you and follow you in your travels, Mike?
So you go to Mike Cox 2026, really easy, MikeCox2026.com, and you can follow me on X at Mike_Cox.
MikeCox2026.com, and probably on a variety of other social media platforms. We wish you good luck, Michael.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's great to talk to you again, bro.
Uh-huh. Mike Cox, he's always been a good guy. He's now running for governor as a Republican, and we wish him good luck and wish him well. As we continue in focus on WJR at 128. Parents and visitors to Detroit Public Schools Community District's buildings might notice that part of the school's entrance now vaguely resemble airport security lines. I'm afraid, who's wrote this? Max Bryan from the Detroit News. Michigan schools adopt facial recognition for security, but critics worry. I'm always perplexed by the, quote, critics worry when we're trying to do whatever we can with the latest technology to keep anyone safe, but especially our students. Dr. Robert Livernoy, retired superintendent of Warren Consolidated Schools. You know him as the host of School Talks and Hidden in Plain Sight right here on WJR. Is here to talk a little bit about the schools that are adopting facial recognition technology for security. Doctor, always a pleasure and frankly a privilege to welcome you to Focus with Paul W. Smith.
Thanks for having me, Paul W. I'm glad to be here.
Your thoughts on facial recognition and, for that matter, any new technology that might make our students safer?
Well, as a former superintendent, I can really appreciate the enormous pressure on school officials to keep kids safe. And when you think about how open schools were even 20, 30 years ago and to where they are now, we have really locked them down in numerous ways, all under the idea of keeping things safer. And we don't need to take but a second to recognize the number of school tragedies that have brought this to light. So the notion of doing things to keep children safe is certainly not new. What I think is interesting about the visitor management system is it starts to creep toward that whole Big Brother algorithm tracking thing that has become really divisive in our culture. But if you remove that for one second, which by and large is impossible, the notion of doing things to keep kids safe is not new at all to schools. But when you mix in, you know, when you read this article you referenced, it almost has a science fiction element to it in terms of facial recognition and how they're, you know, potentially able to profile and so on. So I think we need to look at this through two very different lenses. One, it's easy to see the need to keep them safe. But two, where does this go, right? What is the scope creep of this kind of technology in schools? And, you know, at what point does it get to the classroom door? And I think that's sort of the underpinning of the whole thing.
Dr. Robert Livernoy, retired superintendent of Warren Consolidated Schools, host of School Talks and Hidden in Plain Sight right here on WJR. It's a system that's part of a new facial recognition software system that's it's known commonly as Visitor Aware, and now in place at every Detroit Public Schools Community District school, where the system matches visitors' faces against a valid form of identification before they're allowed into the school. And when visitors are flagged, they may not be allowed in the building. And the ACLU is saying that facial recognition remains, quote, far too unreliable. But what's the point? What goes wrong when the facial recognition is unreliable? Is there a downside to this?
Well, I think what they're referencing is the idea that the software is based on largely white people. And with Detroit Public Schools population, I think they're trying to draw a concern that the software might not be accurate for all faces. And as such, it would create false flags, so to speak. However, as a former superintendent, I would much rather deal with a false flag than no flag at all if, in fact, someone was able to get past the front office of a school. So it really becomes we're into that, you know, well, we've waded into that water of what is this really about and what's driving it. But I, as a superintendent, I would take a false alarm any day over not being aware of something at all. But I think the point they're making is on what data is this software built and how good is it at recognizing all kinds of faces? And are certain people being set up to be flagged over others? And which is my point of it wading into that, you know, that whole divide that exists far and away from keeping schools safe.
Yeah. Well, I'm on your side on this, and any of the flaws can be fixed by just adding to the database mm-hmm. if they're concerned. And I would hope that that's what they would do. Dr. Robert Livernoy, retired superintendent of Warren Consolidated Schools. Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. 143. Listen to him on School Talks and Hidden in Plain Sight right here on WJR. Well, I was trying to set my recorder to record the King. I think it's at 3 o'clock, but I screwed up. I screwed up the whole thing, so I'll have to work on it when I get off the air here. I've got to go to my Cars and Cigars board meeting, which I look forward to. We only have like one a year, so I'm going to be there for that. But Ryan Ermanni will be reporting in with Marie Osborne, who is doing his show for him, and he'll call in as much as he possibly can from this historic event. Today happens to be National Blueberry Pie Day, and I'd like a showing of hands from Danielle and Mike, and I don't know if Rich is in on that or not, but where are you on blueberry pie?
I like it fine. It's not my favorite, but if it's in front of me, I'll eat it. I'll enjoy it.
Is there anything other than dairy products? If they're in front of you, you won't eat them.
I don't think I would do an eel pie like the Pilgrims.
No, me neither. And I just saw a thing online because I'm susceptible to that as I'm doom scrolling. Bags of frozen blueberries frozen wild blueberries are supposed to be very good for you. Huh. Has anyone else heard that?
No, but I'm glad to hear that because usually when I do blueberries, they're frozen.
All right. Well, apparently the wild ones are smaller and give you more of the skin where more of the nutrients are.
Oh.
Apparently.
So the rest is just kind of fluff.
I don't know.
You do believe that?
When I was in Alaska, we were on this Indian reservation and the lady said, "Would you like to try some of our blueberries?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And she brought them out of the freezer. They were frozen still. And they had this beautiful, lovely snap to them along with the frozen crunch. And then there was this, it almost didn't even taste like a blueberry.
Huh.
There was this beautiful flavor. Oh.
Well, that's nice. And you didn't risk breaking a tooth by biting into a frozen blueberry.
No. You had to set them out for like 5 minutes. She let them thaw out just a little bit. But actually, the harder ones were the better ones.
And they were smaller?
Yes.
As wild blueberries,
yes.
From what I understand.
Yes, they are smaller.
Okay. I haven't been following the social media stuff. I'm told I have to go on Facebook eventually.
Yeah, because of all your birthday messages?
I had like 500 messages and stuff, which is, I'm not ignoring these people. I'm ignoring Facebook. But be that as it may, apparently there are unlimited social media conspiracy theories after the press dinner shooting.
Oh, yeah.
What are they saying?
Well, so the first thing I saw is that this was a staged assassination attempt by President Trump to help his poll numbers and to justify a boardroom or the ballroom.
The ballroom.
And then I saw another person saying that this was planned by the journalists. So you got conspiracies on both sides.
Oh, I think it's fabulous because they were there for once, and so they're all talking about it nonstop.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they've become part of the news.
Well, you know what? I mean, other than the fear of having to live through an event like this, all of a sudden it's Saturday night, and now you got to work because there's a news story happening, and you're there.
Right. In the middle of it.
Yeah.
All right. It is... What? A Nevada judge sentenced Dances with Wolves actor Nathan Chasing Horse, which is a really bad name to have to grow up with, Nathan Chasing Horse, sentenced to life in prison following a long-running criminal case. I never heard of it.
Yeah, I never heard about this guy until today, but I guess he was accused and convicted of sexually abusing a number of indigenous women and young girls.
Oh, my gosh. So. And then here's one. Sri Lankan authorities have arrested 22 Buddhist monks who were allegedly carrying nearly 250 pounds of cannabis at an airport.
That's why
the monks.
That's why they're so zen.
Wow. All right. It today, besides being a National Blueberry Pie Day, it's also Kiss Your Mate Day. And I'm just going to say, if you wait until the one-year anniversary and kiss your mate on this one day, you're not going to have a mate very long,
right?
Mate.
All right. Also, isn't that covered under Valentine's Day, at least when it comes to holidays?
You would think.
Yeah.
I don't know. JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermanni, with Marie Osborne in for the traveling Ryan Ermanni. He is in place. He had to be in place early for the 3 o'clock special joint session of Congress with King Charles III. He will bring you up to date on that with our own Marie Osborne, who is standing by and taking over to talk for a second because I have to sneeze.
Go ahead and sneeze. So amid all the drama of the weekend with the shooting at the alleged almost shooting at the correspondents' dinner, the big, big, big controversy involves the dress that was worn by Pete Hegseth's wife. Was she wearing a $14 dress from the Chinese online retailer Temu? It is all over social media.
Oh,
this has caused quite a buzz.
I hope she was. I have no idea. When you first started to say it, I thought you were saying the dress Pete Hegseth wore.
Well, no. Now, that would have been bigger news, yes.
That would have been bigger news, yeah. By the way, seeing the Queen and our First Lady, they both looked beautiful today. They
sure
both
did. Were,
mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing is, I love the pomp and circumstance. I love that Ryan is there and going to fill us in on all of it today and tomorrow. And I love that you're there today.
Yeah, we're excited. And we were hoping that Ryan would be able to be with us, but Beth Ann is telling me that, you know, there's obviously a lot of security involved here.
Oh, yeah.
And he has to be in his seat ahead of the 2 o'clock
hour. I understand. Believe me, I know. We got to run. Regards, Paul W. Smith.